Welcome to Backyard Oasis, a podcast designed by and for older adults living in the beautiful Pioneer Valley of Western Massachusetts and produced in the tech studios at Greenfield Community College in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Backyard Oasis reaches out to older adults who seek knowledge to help them live more thoughtfully, healthily, and happily, who hope to inspire others with their ideas, and who serve their communities in the interest of the greater good. We hope you join us frequently in our pleasant backyard oasis for wide-ranging conversations with a diversity of people who are growing older and want to talk about it.
Hello, my name is Judy Raper, and I serve as the Associate Dean of Community Engagement at Greenfield Community College. Today, we are broadcasting from GCC's Multimedia Studio, and we are going to learn about a very important resource in our community, the Greenfield Public Library. We are just a little over a year out from the grand opening of the new location of the Greenfield Public Library, and I look so forward to hearing what has been happening this past year, and perhaps we will learn a bit about some plans for the future. We have some special guests with us today, and I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves before we jump into a conversation. Francesca, would you like to start?
Sure. Hi, my name's Francesca Facilia. I am the teen librarian at Greenfield Public Library. As a teen librarian, I work with youth ages 13 through 20, and I provide them with a safe and supportive space. And I liaison with community members, such as local schools and organizations, to create programming and different opportunities for teens. I'm also very interested in creating more programming for our makerspace. Our Roundhouse Craft program, which we do with the Franklin County Fair, has just been extended for the full year. And one of the other projects I work on is Bookends, which is a book group that I do with Judy.
Thank you. And Anna?
Hi, I'm Anna Boniolo, and I am the director of the Greenfield Public Library. I started 1 year ago when the library opened in its new location, and it's been a wonderful year. My job really is to be the liaison between the staff and the city of Greenfield and the friends of the Greenfield Public Library, the trustees, and the foundation. And I'm really blessed to have so many people who love the Greenfield Public Library that I get to work with, but also the community that we serve. And it's been a wonderful first year in our new space, and I'm looking forward to talking about it with you.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been a year. I was at that grand opening and remember it being packed, and we had waited so long. I think the conversation started 10 years before the actual building opened, so very exciting for the town, for the region. So tell us a little bit about what life's been like this past year, what's been going really well, what have been some of your challenges, and have there been any big surprises?
It's been, as I said, a fantastic year. I think the biggest surprise for all of us is just how popular the library is. We knew that getting a new library, a bigger space, obviously, was going to be welcoming a lot of people, but we had no idea really how many people. Right now, we're averaging about 600 people a day, plus or minus. Probably one of the best investments made in the space was the door counter. So we can actually have a live number of how many people are in and out of the library. We had Jim McGovern last week who stopped in for a visit, and we were able to count exactly how many people came to that event simply because of the people who are coming in and out. So that was great to be able to have that number. And I think really what surprised all of us is just how many different people are using the library, the different use. It's not just a place to come and pick up books. It's a place where people come to gather with friends, to sit on the second floor balcony and eat their lunch, or to come and do work. We have so many people who are either working remote workers or students who are studying. Maybe they're doing an online course, or they just have a day off and want to study in a library rather than sitting at home. We have lots of families with young children, middle schoolers, teens. It really is just varied, the use of the library and the people who are coming in. And we are seeing people who are not just from Greenfield, but from our surrounding towns as well. And it's been great to kind of hear people's experiences. They talk a lot about their own home library and how much they love their home libraries, but how great it is that they can come to a different library as well when their library is closed. So it's been really nice to have people from all over coming in. And also when I've noticed during holiday times, we have people who maybe grew up in this area and are coming home to visit family or stopping by on their way someplace else. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this library. I heard there was a new library, but this is amazing. And a lot of reminiscing of the old library as well. So really it's been great to have all the feedback that we're getting and just to see how this new library is fitting in to the community and how we can learn from the needs of the community to expand our offerings, which is something that we are constantly looking at.
So 600 people a day is a lot. That's a big number. And so in your, from your perspective, would you say in terms of why they're coming into the library, it's really evenly distributed among all of those reasons that you mentioned that somebody might be in a library, or is there a primary like use?
I mean, I think you still have a lot of people who are coming in to get books and other reading materials.
Right.
We have your people who come every day to read the newspapers. And but I do think that because the space is so much bigger and there's so many different types of places where you can sit, that it's really attracting use that wasn't as popular or seen before in the other library, simply because there wasn't space for it.
Right.
You know, I think that's a really big part of it. And there's a constant flow. There really is never a moment where the library is quiet. You know, it's we say, oh, that was a quieter day. But really, it's just a steady influx of people. And of course, there are times that are busier than other times.
And what are the hours of the library?
So we're open Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 9:30 to 8. Thursday and Friday, 9:30 to 5. Saturdays, 9:30 to 2.
And how big is your staff?
We are 12 full-time people, and I think it's 4 part-time people.
12 exhausted full-time people.
It's the same. Yes, it's the same number of staff that was in the other building. Yes.
That's got to be challenging. Yeah. So I'm going a little out of order here in terms of the questions that I gave you to look at. But what, in terms of volunteering, do you rely on volunteers a lot?
Absolutely.
Or you do? And so tell me a little bit about what they do, how many you have, and if somebody's interested, how they might volunteer.
So we have, as I mentioned, we also have the Friends of the Greenfield Public Library and the Foundation. And those are more formal groups of people who just love the library for one reason or another, want to help in the community, and have decided the library is where they want to put their efforts. The Friends have a large group of people who will volunteer to participate in some of our activities, programs particularly. They do all the fundraising for all of the programs that we have at the library, which is huge. The money that we get for all of the activities we do, whether it's a book group or a teen activity, films in the library, the film licenses is the money is fundraised by the Friends of the Greenfield Public Library. That does not come from municipal accounts. That is strictly from our friends. So imagine the amount of fundraising they do. So some volunteers are people who are friends who are volunteering their time to fundraise and promote the activities and programs that happen in the library. Then we have people who are just volunteers who are not affiliated with the Friends. And those are people who love the library or have an idea of something that they'd like to do. And you can go onto our website or stop in the library and speak with one of the staff at the main desk, the borrower services, and just say, I'm interested in volunteering. What type of, you know, positions do you have or what, you know, what are you looking for? And we have a wide variety of possibilities. Shelving is a huge one. Without people volunteering to come and shelve the books, we'd be in real trouble.
We have a volunteer that waters all of the plants.
Another who waters all of the plants, which is huge, right? We have beautiful plants.
Small things that make a big difference.
And one of our colleagues has sort of been organizing a volunteer pool. So for instance, if I have a makerspace program happening with an instructor, I can tell him I need a volunteer from Wednesday night from 5 to 8, preferably somebody that knows a little about crochet. and he'll match me up with somebody.
Oh, that's
which
awesome.
Is nice.
We have other people who want to volunteer to lead a program. So mm-hmm. we have French that happens at the library. I believe that's once a month. Mm-hmm. And there's someone locally who's volunteering to lead a French conversation group. Mm-hmm. And
so these are people who have some fluency in French that just want to practice?
Yeah. Former high school teacher.
Okay. Who's leading it. But okay. yes, anyone who has any interest in wanting to have a time
practice
to
speak using the language,
in
yep.
French. We are looking for someone for Spanish. Mm-hmm. That has been a large request from
yeah.
the community.
I get those requests too,
yes.
actually.
And that's some is harder yeah. For some reason. And we are would be really happy if someone wanted to come and lead once a month. Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. whatever, as a volunteer, you decide mm-hmm. what your time commitment allows you to give, right? So it's not as if we say to someone, oh, you want to volunteer? Well, you have to be here X, Y, and Z times.
Right.
It's based on your availability because we're grateful for whatever we get. Mm-hmm. There is a process for volunteering. You do have to fill out some paperwork.
Sure,
you
yeah.
are working in a city building, so mm-hmm. we have to follow by the city rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. So everyone has to be quarried and sorried, and that happens every 2 years. And, you know, we have a basic training mm-hmm. in whatever area
right.
it is that you decide you want to volunteer in. If it's shelving and you're not familiar with shelving, well, then we'll provide you with the training for that. But if it's something that you want to lead, then we need to organize the room that you want to be in, how often you want to do this, and then we would advertise. We do the marketing side, the communication side, to promote these programs that volunteers are stepping up to offer. So there really is a wide variety of volunteer opportunities. I know that you had on your list the Homebound program, mm-hmm. so
yeah.
I'll just segue into
some
that.
Of our
so
folks could be interested
yeah.
in that.
So the Homebound program is a delivery program where you were matched with, it's led by the library staff and the Friends of the Greenfield Public Library. And so it's people who are part of the Friends mostly who are the delivery mm-hmm. folks. And you get matched up if you are someone who wants to receive materials at home. And that can be books, DVDs, CDs, magazines, whatever it is that you are interested in having at home. You will be matched up with a volunteer of the Homebound program, and they will ask you some questions, kind of do a little interview session. What is your taste? What do you like? What don't you like? And they will help select items for you and then pick them up at the library and deliver them to your home and then come back a few weeks later, pick them up, and take them back to the library for you. And this is not limited to seniors, per se. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's open to anyone who just can't get
for
to the library for a variety of reasons,
yeah.
whether you don't have a car or you've had an operation and you just can't make it. And it's not, you can go in and out of
it's
being
like meals
in the
on
home.
Wheels for library
yeah.
books.
Yeah, exactly. yes, good analogy.
And so do people, when they deliver books and so forth, do they actually visit with folks? Or is
they
it,
do,
they,
yes,
okay.
yes.
So they're, sort of
that's part of it.
Yeah.
It's building a relationship. And for some people, it's you know a time when they get to see someone else. And can have a moment to talk with someone about.
And are there enough volunteers to cover all the people that are interested in the program?
At this point, there
yeah.
are.
I think we can always use
we can
more
always
volunteers.
Use more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then sometimes our volunteers go on vacation or get sick themselves or something happens and they're not able to keep up. And so, you know, having a full roster is really important. So absolutely, if someone is interested in being part of the Homebound Delivery Program, we're always happy to meet with people and mm-hmm. talk about what they're interested in doing and their availability.
And do you make matches based on common interest, or is it just sort of like...
So there have been times when matches haven't mm-hmm. worked out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a personality conflict, but maybe it's the person isn't selecting materials that you like. And this is just a conversation. Mm-hmm. It happens mm-hmm. in life, right? So
right.
there is that opportunity to say, you know, I don't think I'm working out.
This isn't a good match.
This
yeah.
isn't a good match. And could we investigate, you know, look into something, another person.
It sounds like a really cool opportunity. I'm thinking about it for myself
yeah,
right now.
For sure.
Because it's every couple of weeks. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, for
right.
people who are a little, maybe
mm-hmm.
still working even,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
or raising families yeah. or whatever.
Yeah.
There's,
it's a really nice program. And it's really a wonderful opportunity to get the library outside of the library, which mm-hmm. is something I think a lot of people don't. I used to be an outreach librarian, so my job was to be out of the
mm-hmm.
library.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you do that? But it's the library kind of permeates into all different aspects of life, right? And we can't always assume that someone's going to be able to come into the library or actually want to come into the library. Some people feel intimidated by libraries, but that doesn't mean that they don't want to have a piece of the library, right? So it's, I think, a really great opportunity to get outside as well.
Now, one thing I heard, because you were talking about, so your all of your activities, if I understand, are funded by donations raised by the Friends. Is that correct? So there's no like standing budget that you have to do programs and activities? Mm-hmm. It's all
without the Friends, we'd have no programs.
Okay. And you don't, and you don't charge rental for your space if somebody's...
Not at this point, no. Okay. But there
is that
are certain...
under consideration? Or?
It is down the road. There right now we have, it's kind of like an order of, because we are a city building, mm-hmm. City offices and departments have kind of first access mm-hmm. to the mm-hmm. meeting rooms. Having said that, it's not busy by city departments. Mm-hmm. We have other places that we can go. And then it's like nonprofit. So if you're a for-profit business, really at this point, we don't lend the rooms out to people who are perhaps, trying to sell their...
Well, that's what actually I heard about. I found out about this because mm-hmm. I oversee Senior Symposium mm-hmm. and they are looking for a new space. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that you can't use the library if you're charging for
right.
an event. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Just to make sure
yes.
our listeners
yes.
understand that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
In the future, and this is something that the trustees who oversee the building, they mm-hmm. kind of are the people that make the decisions that of things that happen mm-hmm. at the building, they may consider renting out the room. Mm-hmm. So we are still waiting for our after-hour security system to mm-hmm. be installed, which would mean basically that at this point, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings are the only evenings that we're open
okay.
to meetings. We don't go after hours.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a staffing issue.
Right.
We don't
right.
staff are not going to stay and, they're not
so
paid
for now
to
you cannot get married at the library.
Exactly.
Okay.
But many libraries.
It would be so nice if
I know,
we did that
right?
though.
Many libraries do rent out their
yeah, that's
rooms
what I was asking,
and their spaces. We're just not there yet. It is something that we have spoken about. Again, we need to have our after-hour security system mm-hmm. Put into place mm-hmm. to be able to facilitate that. And it is something that going forward, we are considering, we're looking into. And we've had the request
yeah.
very, very frequently.
People are always looking for meeting space.
Well, there's not a lot of meeting space yeah. around town. Yeah. And I think that's one thing that when we were driving over here, we were talking about. And I'm like, people, even our study rooms, we have three study rooms.
Mm-hmm.
We had no idea how popular those study rooms would be. We could have tripled the number mm-hmm. of study rooms and they'd
right.
still be booked
right.
all the time.
Right.
So, people are looking for space and there's not a lot of it around to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, down the road, that is something that we've talked about and I envision that conversation
mm-hmm.
coming up
mm-hmm.
again when we're ready for that. We just wanted to give ourselves a little more time to acclimate.
Thank you for sorting that out.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about teens. Francesca, mm-hmm. I know that having a dedicated teen space was one of the things you were most excited about. Talk a little bit about what's happening in that space and what kind of engagement you've seen.
Sure. The teen space is flourishing. It's been such a nice surprise. When we first opened the library, first of all, I always told I have a personality like a freight train. And I tend to overdo things and jump in head first. So from the very start, I was running all kinds of programs, Barbie parties, D&D.
Tell us what a Barbie party is.
Well, that was when the Barbie movie came out last summer, obviously.
I don't remember the Barbie. Oh, you need to watch the movie.
Well, okay. The teens all showed up at the library dressed in their best pink clothes, and we had trivia and snacks, and I forget what we had. And then using money from the Friends, I was able to buy $5 Tuesday night tickets to the Barbie movie, so then everybody went across the street and saw the movie.
Very fun.
So I get to do fun stuff like that, but I've been noticing the really interesting thing is that the teens just really like the space. They don't need me to be there entertaining
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they like that it's a very supportive space and that there is a reliable adult, me, who's in the
mm-hmm.
room. And so I'm sort of shifting a little bit, and this fall I'm planning on focusing more on homework help. I think I might be looking for some seniors that might be interested in helping with tutoring a little bit. I've got many social groups of teens, and some of them grew up using the library, and some of them are AP students that are there to do their homework. But then I have kids that just don't have anywhere else to go, and
mm-hmm.
normally you'd think maybe they want to go make trouble somewhere. but they really respect and enjoy the teen space. They love to come in and play video games or board games or just sit and socialize. Mm-hmm. It's been really nice. One of the hard things has been explaining to younger and older patrons why we need a teen-only space. Lots of times adults want to come in and sit down, and they don't get that everywhere is their space. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. this is this one room in downtown mm-hmm. Greenfield, this one place just for teens. So that's been a learning curve, but it's going better.
Well, and you're also obviously balancing that with some intergenerational work as well. So there are yes. spaces where those demographics can enter together.
Yes, and I'm hoping to do more intergenerational programming. We're getting ready to put up a mural in the teen room, and we'll be focusing on Greenfield history for at least part of it. And I would love to do a meet and greet with seniors and teens where they can talk about teenage experience and life mm-hmm. in Greenfield growing up. Now and then. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. So we've actually plowed through a lot of the questions I had planned to ask you just in these first couple of minutes. What are some things that I didn't put on the list or that I haven't asked you that you'd love to talk about, brag about, or let us know about?
Oh, geez.
Well, I was saying on the way here, we have gallery space in the library, mm-hmm. and I don't think people know that. So we currently have an exhibit called Portraits of Dementia. It's a photographer who grew up in Leverett. It's a beautiful exhibit.
I'm familiar
it's
with
these
that
giant
exhibit.
Photographs. Yeah. It's traveled around. I don't know if it's New England or Massachusetts, and it's currently at the library through September, and it's beautiful. And then after that, we have a group of photographers, Springfield-based photographers, who went out into Franklin County and took photographs, and will be exhibiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to open up the exhibit spaces to local artists, and mm-hmm. that's our plan. Right now we're doing kind of test runs. We had a ServiceNet, that was our very first show in mm-hmm. the spring, where people who are involved with ServiceNet, and it was beautiful, it was colorful. We had a wonderful reception, and a lot of people just stopping by to see, just coming to the library to see a show. Mm-hmm. And the same with the Portraits of Dementia. There's also, we try to do programming as much as we can around the exhibition, so mm-hmm. whether that's a reception or we're going to, with the Portraits of Dementia, we're going to be having a series of expert specialists speaking about dementia and Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then there will be on the reception evening, which is the 16th of September, there will also be a reception / conversation where members of the community are of all ages are invited to come and talk about and learn about the effects of dementia and Alzheimer's on families, on individual family members. And we're really looking forward to that. And then with the Franklin County photography exhibit, we had hoped to get it to coincide with the Franklin County Fair, but that didn't work out because that's really early in September.
Mm-hmm. Really early.
Our other show is hanging until
summer is almost
the
gone.
End of September. Yeah. So mm-hmm. that's going to be hung in October for October and November. But really highlighting either images of our wonderful Western Massachusetts mm-hmm. or highlighting the local artists. And so on our website is the information about the display areas in the library, but also the application for local artists to submit, fill out the forms and submit to request to have a show in the library. And those are shows that we don't charge them to mm-hmm. use the space. Mm-hmm. They are invited to display and have a reception at the library. So we have a kind of an art committee of folks who are going to review the applications and then map mm-hmm. out a schedule mm-hmm. for the next year for different shows, rotating shows. So that's really exciting.
Sounds like a great way for a new artist to kind of launch their work.
Exactly. Yeah. And Greenfield can always use more gallery space. There's mm-hmm. one program debuting tonight, and I know people are going to hear this after the fact, but it's monthly, and I'm so excited for this one. What is it called? The Silent Book Readers Club?
Silent Book Club.
Silent Book Club. Very trendy in the library mm-hmm. world right now.
Yes.
People arrive at the library with their book. I think everybody meets up at the beginning for a few minutes, mm-hmm. and then they just spread out around the library and read silently for the
evening.
Yeah, and if you're a procrastinator and you're like, oh, I've got this great book, but I never make the time to read it, this is a great way to do it.
Or if you're like me,
It's kind of like working out, making sure you're doing it with other people, even if you're not actually working out
but
together.
But reading is so much more fun than working out.
And I always feel really weird when I make book recommendations. Like, I don't know, I guess I like different types of books. And I've never really been part of a book club. I've led book clubs, but I've never been part of one. I have this, I don't like being told what I have to read. I guess that's my, and so I think this is a great book club for people who really like to read and like to share. I like to talk about books with people and get ideas of what to read next. I think this is a great, this would be my type of book club where I could just come and have a dedicated time to read. That would like force me to sit down and read with a bunch of people.
In our super comfortable brand new library furniture.
Exactly.
And it is, I can location. Attest to it. I've been there. So what, what I'm hearing from all of you is that, or for both of you, is that if somebody has an innovative program idea, you'd be game to try it. Is that what I'm kind of hearing?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I've been asked to ask about book babies.
Book babies, yes. As in the book baby, the reading program that we have for the little ones, right? Yeah, I think that, so that was...
Our producer wanted that information as a father of a small child.
Yes, so interesting, our children's librarian is about to have her first baby. And so we actually have a library baby right now. And she's leaving on maternity leave this week, at the end of this week. But there is, I think it's called, like 1,000 books before kindergarten, something like that, which is a program, like a national program. And there was, and this transitioned when I came in, so there was a program where you would kind of create an online profile and you would keep track of what you and your child were reading. And now I believe, I don't know if that was phased out, I'm not really sure the particulars of what happened, but now we're actually in the process of figuring out what are we going to do next. And it could just be like a Google spreadsheet. But the idea still is the same. We want to encourage families to have a benchmark, something that really encourages families to find that time to sit down and read. And we do have programs at the library. So if you have a family member who's taking care of your child, or you yourself, or they're with at a daycare, we do have a couple of daycares, local ones, that come in every week with the children to the children's room, which is really great to see. Like, they come in a line with all these little strollers. Oh, it's really, giant it is, strollers. It's pretty amazing
like
to see.
I'm hanging at the library and just watch little kids.
Yeah, the other night, or no, the other morning, I was working on the main circulation desk, and all of a sudden the lobby filled up. Trap Rock Peace Center had been in the big meeting room, and Book Babies, the story group, had been happening in the children's room, and they got at it at the same time, and the lobby was full of monks in their yellow robes one side little babies on the other. And I kept wanting to
really demonstrating the diversity
photo.
Of patrons.
Yeah. And one of my favorite things, and our book baby program is very popular. It's a little bit of reading and singing, and you know, the babies get to do their thing at whatever stage they're at. But one of my favorite things, which maybe my colleagues wouldn't agree with me, the acoustics are incredible in the library. It's all open. So whenever there's an upset child, you hear it. It resonates. And my favorite is when it's usually the toddlers to pre-K. They don't want to leave the library, and it's time to leave, and they just melt down. I don't want to go. You're so mean. And they're, like, pulling on the parent. And I'm always like, wow, look at that. Like, you know, what parent wouldn't want their child to be having
to
a tantrum
the
because they have to leave the library, right?
Our job is done.
It's like, it's exactly. It's a whole other thing when it's, you know, you're at the shopping mall and they're like, and you're like, you got to get out of here. Not when you're leaving the library. That's that you've done your job. If your child has that, that emotional reaction to it's time to go, then you've done your job as a parent. You've taken them to the right place.
Absolutely. So we need to wrap up here, but I want to thank you both for being here. I was thinking back when you were talking about the book babies. I had a library card at the age of 2. I grew up in a small town in Indiana. My mother took me to the library every week throughout my childhood and, you know, taught me about how important it was to take care of the books while they were being borrowed and all those things. And so I really feel like my love for reading and writing that developed at a very young age is largely due to my being immersed in the library culture.
Your exposure at
a young
age.
So thank you both for what you do. Please come visit the Greenfield Public Library. Or volunteer, even better, volunteer. And thank you both for being here and come back anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This concludes today's podcast. We're always looking for new ideas, so feel free to reach out to Judy Raper, Associate Dean of Community Engagement at Greenfield Community College at 413-775-1819 if you have an idea you'd love to share. Special thanks to the creators of Backyard Oasis, Denise Schwartz, Chad Fuller, Dennis Lee, and Christine Copeland. Have a great day.